in your Bible, please, the Epistle of Jude. We began this study back in October, 25 verses, the body of which concerns a contrast. Jude, a bondservant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to those who are sanctified in God the Father and in Jesus Christ. This letter is addressed to those who are set apart unto God, set apart in Christ Jesus. His desire, as they receive this letter, is that they might be experiencing fully the mercy of God, His pity, that they might be experiencing fully the peace of God, that they might be experiencing fully the love of God. It's a unique trilogy of truth, nowhere else in the Scripture. May mercy, peace, and love be multiplied to you. And then he identifies those whom he is writing to in a very intimate term. Verse 4. Beloved, while I was making every effort to write to you about our common salvation, I felt the necessity to write to you, exhorting, appealing, that you contend earnestly for the faith which was once for all handed down to the saints. We have said over these weeks that this is a letter that Jude was sending to celebrate, to commune with his brothers and sisters in Christ around their common salvation. But the Spirit of God had a different purpose. Rather than a letter of celebration, communion, it becomes a letter guided by the Spirit of God of challenge. Contend for the faith. And then he gives the reason why the Spirit of God has changed the intent of this letter. Because certain men, verse 4, certain men have crept in unnoticed, those who were long beforehand marked out for this condemnation, this judgment, ungodly persons who turn the grace of our God into licentiousness and deny our only Lord God, our Master, the Lord Jesus Christ. Certain men, verse 4, beloved, verse 3, certain men have crept in. They are men that are doomed. Their conduct is deserving the condemnation that has already been pronounced on them. Beloved, contrasted to these blasphemers, and in our studies, we have seen this contrast. There in verse 4, they are those who distort the grace of God and deny the person and work of the Lord Jesus. Verse 8, in the same way, these men also by dreaming defile the flesh and reject authority and revile angelic majesties. Verse 10. These men revile the things which they do not understand. Verse 11. Woe to them. They're condemned. They are deserving of damnation. Verse 12. These are the men who are hidden reeves in your love feast. behavior, their conduct is deserving damnation, condemnation. This conduct is very deceptive. You see, that's the way the devil works. He denies the truth. He distorts the truth. He displaces the truth with a lie. And these men are servants of Satan. They are deserving that which was set apart for the devil, damnation. Verse 14, it was also about these men. Enoch the seventh from Adam prophesied, and in his prophecy, he doomed them to damnation. Verse 16, these are murmurers, grumblers, complaining. Following after their own lusts, they speak swelling words, flattering people for the sake of profit. These preachers are preachers for profit. Verse 19. These are the ones who are set apart. They have set themselves apart. They're natural men, devoid of the Spirit. They're doomed. And so this letter, as far as the body of the letter, what is set forth from verse 3 down through verse 23, is all about this contrast. The contrast between the beloved and the blasphemers. Those who were called, contrasted to those who have crept in. Those who share in a common salvation, contrasted to those who are condemned in their sin. Beloved, a term of endearment. Come on over to Romans chapter 1. Paul, a bondservant of Christ Jesus, called an apostle, set apart for the gospel of God, which he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his Son, who was born of the seed of David according to the flesh, who was declared the Son of God with power by the resurrection from the dead, according to the Spirit of holiness, Jesus Christ our Lord, through whom we have received grace, single most significant word in all of the Scriptures. We have received grace, an apostleship to bring about the obedience of faith among the Gentiles for his name's sake, among whom you also are the called of Jesus Christ. To all who are beloved of God, the beloved of God in Rome, called saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. The Epistle of Jude is a contrast between those who are called and those who have crept in. Beloved, blasphemers. Look at Chapter 8 of Romans. I've said on more than one occasion, verse 28 is a verse that you want to be on the giving side rather than the receiving side. Romans 8:28. And we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. Usually we share this verse when somebody is in big trouble. God has a purpose. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to become conformed to the image of his Son, so that he would be the firstborn among many brethren. The called are called for a purpose. That purpose is conformity to the image of Christ. And that purpose will be realized, as we'll see in just a few moments. Our destiny is conformity to Christ. But there's a duty, a conduct in keeping with those who are the beloved, a behavior that is in keeping with our calling. We are called to be conformed to the image of Christ. Firstborn, Jesus, among many brethren. And these whom he has predestined, he also called. And these whom he called, he also justified. And these whom he justified, he also glorified. Our destiny is determined. It's secure. Those who have responded, those who have been called, are beloved of God, called for the purpose of being conformed unto the image of Christ. That's our destiny, and it's a done deal as far as God's concerned. We will be like him. Look at Romans chapter 9 and verse 22. What if God, although willing to demonstrate his wrath and to make his power known, endured with much long suffering vessels of wrath prepared for destruction? God, in his mercy, in his love, in his long suffering, has put up with humanity from the time of Adam's sin. And he did so to make known the riches of his glory upon vessels of mercy, pity, which he prepared beforehand for glory. That's the destiny of those who are called. Even us, whom he also called, not from among the Jews only, but also among the Gentiles. As he says in Hosea, I will call those who were not my people, my people. And her who was not beloved, beloved. And it shall be that in the place where it was said of them, you are not my people, they shall be called sons of the living God. Beloved, called to conformity to Christ. It's a done deal. Our destiny is secure. Ephesians chapter 1. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, to the saints, those set apart ones, who are at Ephesus and who are faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace to you, and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. The moment that we responded to his call, the moment that we placed our faith in Christ Jesus, God declared of us and sees us as his own, fully endowed with all of the blessings that he can bestow on his beloved. God has never held back for those whom he loves. There are some who preach about second blessings, third blessings, things that you can gain that you haven't had as yet. No. God has given to us all that he wants us to have the moment we believe in him. We are blessed for all the spiritual blessings of God in Christ Jesus we possess. And he sees this in heaven. We are already seated with Christ Jesus, blessed. Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world that we should be holy, set apart, and without a blemish, not so much as a spot of sin. Blemishless before him. In love, he predestined us to an adoption as sons through Jesus Christ to himself, according to the kind intention of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, which he freely bestowed on us in the beloved. We are born again, born from above, in that moment that we place our faith in Christ Jesus. And it's called the new birth experience. And in our human experiences, we recognize that when one is born, there is a process now of coming to ultimate maturity. Not so spiritually, as far as our relationship to God. Now, in our life here until we are perfect in him, there is a process. But the moment we believe, we are placed, we are adopted as sons. Again, nothing held back. The inheritance of the Son is already ours. We don't have to wait to get it. It's ours. He has placed us as adopted sons, fully mature with all of our inheritance. The responsibility that comes with that is the reality of our practical sanctification. The process of being conformed unto his image. It's a done deal as far as God's concerned. But as long as we're here, we're going through that process of being conformed unto the image of Christ. But in that practical process, he sees us already positioned as mature. His sons, his daughters. Inheritors of all that he has provided for us in the beloved. Colossians chapter 3. Verse 12. So as those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, set apart, without blemish. Put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, long-suffering, bearing with one another and forgiving each other, whoever has a complaint against anyone. Just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you forgive them. Beyond all these things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. The chosen, the called, are to have a conduct in keeping with that calling. We're his sons. We have an inheritance already secure for us. What awaits us is beyond our expectations. But until then, the beloved are to have a behavior The called are to have a conduct in keeping with that calling. And it is Christ-likeness. We have been called for a purpose. Conformity to the image of Christ. That's our destiny. Now we have a duty. In the process, until we experience the fullness of that, Christ-likeness is to be evident in us and through us. And that is only possible through His indwelling presence, through His Spirit. Put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, forgiving one another. Love. That's the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, kindness. That's the behavior of the beloved. Come on over to 1 Thessalonians. Paul and Silvanus and Timothy, to the church of Thessalonica, in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, grace to you and peace. We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, constantly bearing in mind your work of faith and labor of love and steadfastness of hope. Those are the marks of maturity. Work of faith, labor of love, steadfastness and hope. In our Lord Jesus Christ, in the presence of our God and Father, knowing, brethren, beloved of God, His choice of you. For our gospel did not come to you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit and with full conviction, just as you know what kind of men we proved to be among you for your sake. You also became imitators of us. Beloved, have a behavior. Those who are called have a conduct in keeping with that calling. You are imitators of us and of the Lord. Image of Christ being manifest in us and through us. Having received the word in much tribulation with the joy of the Holy Spirit, so that you became examples to all the believers in Macedonia and Achaia. For the word of the Lord was sounded forth from you, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith toward God has gone forth, so that we have no need to say anything about you. Paul is writing to the church at Thessalonica. And basically, he's saying this. You're behaving just the way you should as believers. Your conduct is in keeping with your calling. There you are. We need say nothing. You're a walking, talking example of the image of Christ, the work of faith, labor of love, your patience and hope, marks of maturity. Wouldn't it be wonderful to be recognized that way? There He is, Christ, in us, manifest through us. Hebrews chapter 6. Difficult chapter for some, verses 1 through 8, simply are a picture of imperfection, of those who are professors, but they're not possessors, those who are not the beloved. Contrasting to that are the true believers, the beloved. Look at verse 9. But, contrast, what I've just said, now you stand in contrast to. But beloved, we are convinced of better things concerning you, and things that accompany salvation. Though we are speaking in this way, for God is not unjust so as to forget your work, work of faith, and love, which you have shown toward his name, and having ministered and still ministering to the saints. The world will know that you are my disciples, that I'm here, that what they see is me in the way you love one another. And we desire that each one of you show the same diligence so as to realize the full assurance of hope until the end. Your work of faith, your labor of love, your perseverance in hope, so that you will not be sluggish, but imitators of those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Behave as beloved. Behave as the beloved who have gone on before. And that's why the 11th chapter gives to us the great honor roll of faith. It's a cloud of witness, testimony. We see what the world should see in us, the beloved behaving as they should, belonging to God. Conduct in keeping with the calling. Children of God. What the world sees is Christ. We are being conformed unto his image. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 11. Beloved, I urge you as aliens and strangers to abstain from fleshly lusts which wage war against the soul. Jesus, speaking to his disciples in the last hours of his life, don't be surprised if the world hates you. They hated me first. And the reality is, the hatred of the world is the hatred of Christ. As we live our lives under the guidance and empowerment of his Spirit dwelling in us, he's to be seen. And when he is seen, the response of the world is hostility. The world is a battlefield. It's not our home. That little chorus, this world's not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. Beloved, behave as though you belong to me. Not the world, because you do not belong to the world. Keep your behavior, verse 12, excellent among the Gentiles, so that in the things in which they slander you as evildoers, they may, because of your good deeds, as they observe them, they're not acknowledging them, but they observe them. Rather than acknowledging them, they slander, they backstab. As they observe them, glorify God in the day of visitation. As we allow Christ to be seen in us, the response of the world is hatred. Backstabbing. But it backfires because that will be part of the judgment of those who have blasphemed Christ by rejecting him and rejecting the witness of him by his beloved. 1 John chapter 3. See how great a love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called children of God. And such we are. For this reason, the world does not know us because it did not know him. Beloved, now are we children of God. And it has not appeared as yet what we will be. We know that when he appears, we will be like him, because we will see him just as he is. The beloved have a destiny awaiting conformity to the image of Christ. But until then, the beloved have a duty to display him. We have a duty to let the world see him through us. A duty to be being conformed to his likeness until he presents us. I know that the only way you are going to be able to spend eternity with me is because I'm going to be different, and so will you. We're going to be like him, conformed unto his image, without blemish. Not so much as a single spot of sin. Until then, everyone who has that hope in purifies himself, even as he is pure. Beloved, behave as one who belongs. You who have been called, may your conduct reflect Christ until you are perfectly conformed to his image. Thank you, Lord, for this epistle of Jude, the contrast between the beloved, the blasphemer, those who are called, those who crept in, those who share a common salvation, and those condemned in their sin. What a contrast. And there, but by the grace of God, go I. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen.